Bonjour, motherfuckers! ¿Cómo estás? Bam! And you say, God damn, this is a dope jam. I'm broad, come on. I'm broad, let's go. I'm broader than Broadway. As I'm broad, you know the words. I'm broad, so I'm broader than Broadway. And you know what you're doing, you're diddling, diddling, diddling. Oh, yourself, and it feels so good. Your sauce will mix with ours and will make a good goulash, baby. Oh yeah, what time is it? It's time to go sailing with Get Wood. It's time for Get Wood with your pal, Jess Wood. Hi, everyone. I am your pal, whether you like it or not. Hey, bonjour. Comment tally titties? How are you, good lookins? Hey, I'd like to say right now, this show is sponsored by French Tatas and the Babes. Oh, my God. Shout out to Ness and Chewy from the Babel Studios. Come on, go to see the Babes at Babel because look it. I'm feeling myself. I got the anchor set. I know. I think it's one of a kind, you guys. Don't even get jelly, but I know you already are. I know this fucking beret. Are you kidding me? This beret, I'm not going to tell you how much it costed because I did go and get it for an 18-year-old for her birthday. I was like, she's going to look spectacular. And then I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, why don't I go and look spectacular? And so I went and got it. And I feel like it's giving very Faye Dunaway, Bonnie and Clyde vibes. Am I crazy? Don't answer that. How are you, my sweet potatoes? I'm so happy to be back on my Tuesday regular. I feel like something was just a miss. You know, the universe was just a miss, Jesse. Stop it, Mom. I didn't invite you in. Listen, are you exhausted? Don't worry. I'm not going to try to sell you a pill. Are you so tired you can't even believe it? Are you just exhausted like you can't even really believe how tired you are? Well, welcome to eclipse season, friends and lovers and lovers and friends. I cannot believe how tired I am. Listen, even if I am doing a lot, I don't know if y'all are like this, but even if I am doing a lot, like if I like get up early, work out, make a smoothie, have a shower, get ready, go to work, work all day, go to a comedy spot after work, come home on the train, still an hour fucking way. Then I come home and I'm like, I didn't do anything tonight. Do you ever do that to yourself? I'm not doing that anymore. Now, guess what? I'm giving myself some fucking props for all the shit that I do, and I recommend it to you, my you're so gorgeous. Look at you. I recommend you give yourself a little love because you're working hard. I see you, and I know who you are, so don't try to hide you're working hard from me. I'm going to give you more love. All right, so listen. Do you ever say, you know what, to yourself? You say, self, what do you think? Are you just not accepting what's real around you? And sometimes we go, hey, I don't know what is real. Like last week, I really questioned what is real. And I think I'm questioning it to the right souls, because you all are like, what is fucking real? I know that the beret with bejeweled from New York, Brooklyn's. Anyway, and the anchors away, my friends. I don't know what song that is, but I think it's a song. Maybe from a show on Broadway. Broadway. Anyways, have you ever decided to like practice something, you know, I don't mean like music or jewelry making or whatever, but, or acting. I mean something like acceptance. This is, okay. Oh, she got so serious. I really, really am practicing. I think I'm saying I'm practicing acceptance, but, and yet when things come in to my world and I don't enjoy them, boy, is it hard for me to accept them. Because acceptance goes all the ways, you know? You can't just fucking accept shit that you love. Of course you're going to accept that. I'm talking about the real challenges of like, oh, this is happening right now, and I did a bunch of what I thought I did work on it before I came in, and yet now I'm faced with it. Whew. It's like, example, for me, taking the subway all the time and it being crowded or it being loud or it being just maybe not even that crowded, but somebody's playing their fucking music. And I don't care about your playlist. Okay? I'd like my playlist. So I bring my headphones because you know what? Why make yourself crazy if you know that it makes you crazy when something's going down? Bring your fucking headphones and fucking keep yourself not from going crazy, right? So I do that. But then I notice this thing happens when I have... Do you know what I'm going to say? I have the headphones in my bag and the people, whoever is loud or with the fucking game or the music, and I just want to like sit there and be like, oh yeah, really? You think we all want it? Like in my head, I'm going over why it's so bad that they're doing, like being real judgy and fucking lame and talking shit. And then I go, Jessica, hey, guess what? Your headphones are in your bag. Put your fucking headphones on and shut the fuck up. I mean, what? It's under my control. Like, all this shit is under our control. Whether we want to do stuff, whether we want to think about things. I mean, it's all... So, acceptance. Am I practicing it? I mean, I say I'm practicing it. It's like the Zen reading. I told you guys I was reading a book about Zen Buddhism on the train one time. And I'm reading this book on Zen Buddhism. And I moved my seat 3 different times. Because I can't, because the practice of being Zen and like letting all the stuff go around me is really hard. And I remember my mom, when I started practicing Buddhism and I wanted Buddhism, thank you for, oh my, like Madonna, Buddhism, oh, she doesn't do Buddhism, what does she do? The Kabbalah. When I told my mom this one practice, because she was having a hard time in her apartment, there was like a beeping going on. And she's like, oh God, Jesse, this beeping is driving me fucking crazy. And I was like, Mom, here's this practice that my teacher just taught us the other night at class, where you greet whatever's bothering you, like, hello. And I had my ex-boyfriend with me, who was very funny. He was at class with me when the teacher was giving this lesson, and the teacher says, you know, you want to greet everything in kindness and be open to it, because if you greet it with anger and negativity, it's just going to grow, you know, the anger and the negativity. So greet it with kindness, like, hello, anger, hello, frustration. And then my boyfriend leans over to me and he goes, hello, Jerry. And I mean, oh my God, hello, laughter. So anyway, I'm sharing this with my mom, and my mom's like, oh, that's so funny. I didn't think he was funny at all. Like, she didn't like this guy, this boyfriend. So the beeping is still going on in her house. And so I stay at her apartment. So I say to her, Ma, why don't you try practicing welcoming the beep while we're on the phone together? Like, I'll just sit with you, you know, and I'll be here as your support, as your, my mom goes, okay, Jesse, you know, Jesse, you're so kind. I'm like, yeah, bitch, I've been taking care of you my whole life. So just calm yourself. Greet the beep. Okay. So she goes, okay, Jesse, here we go. Hello, you fucking beep. You know? And I was like, no, Ma, it's not, you don't want to curse at it. But, you know, this is a woman who, in her early 70s, right before she died, she was having, you know, fistfights at the old age, what do you call it, the aged home, whatever, the senior, you know, the center where the older people live. She was throwing fists. And so, you know, when this is your lineage, when it's fist throwing and dick sucking, I mean, not to be rude, but, you know, to my mom, but... These are fucking or fighting. That was kind of how I grew up. And I know there's some Gen Xers out there who maybe had the same experience, or maybe not. Not to put my shit on you, because I know, as my friend Angelo Lozado said, may he rest in peace, don't put your stuff on other people. You know, it's not fair when you do that. So I'm practicing. Okay. Thank you so much for being here with me. Now, I still can't really shut my mouth if I hear someone say something that I find just ugly. Like, I wouldn't say offensive. I'm not like a Karen out here like, but you know how I don't like it if you talk bad to yourself? You know how I've talked about that before, how if I'm hanging around with my friends or like a family member or something and they talk shit about themselves, like they're like, I'm so stupid. I go, hey, don't talk about my friend like that. Because you know why? Because we shouldn't talk about ourselves like that. And then if we have friends with us who are like, hey, don't talk about my friend like that. Like, we talk such shit to ourselves. As I would never say that to my friend. You know what I mean? The way I talk to myself. So anyway, I was in the laundry the other night on Friday night, and Friday night is like my Sunday night for work, because I work through the weekend and stuff, and through Monday and whatever. So I'm in the laundry, and there's a chick in there, and she goes, and she kind of like looks around, and then she goes, you know, I feel like such a loser on a Friday night doing my laundry. Like, what kind of loser is down in the laundry doing laundry on a Friday night? And I'm sorry. I know I should maybe not take it so personal, but hey, fuck you, lady. The fuck? So I look at her and I go, well, I don't know about that. We don't know each other's lives. Nobody knows each other's lives. And plus, why are you going to talk bad about yourself? You know, don't call yourself names. And everybody else. And she goes, oh, you don't understand the sense of humor. You don't get humor. It was a joke. You don't have a good sense of humor. And I was like, ooh. And it got me where it hurts because, well, not only do I do that for, you know, a living, but also I grew up with people who were so violent and horrible and then would say, like, have a sense of humor. Like, my mom's boyfriend used to say all the time, go play on the highway. And I'd be like, because we lived right below the highway. And usually, you know, keep your animals and your children away from the highway. But this motherfucker was like, go play on the fucking highway. Like, all the time, really, most every day, for a few times a day. Anyway, so, and my, and I go, Ma, do the fucking play on the highway. And she'd go, just have a sense of humor. And that's what, when I bring up, you know, this guy, I'm like, he was violent. He slept with his guns. He was so crazy. And Mom goes, but Jesse, he had a great sense of humor. So listen, laundry loser lady, I think I know a good sense of humor. Huh? You fucking want to talk to me about it? Let's talk. Speaking of a good sense of humor, I know that you have to develop a good sense of humor and a strong, you know, sense of self when you grow up raising yourself and when you have to live with people other than your parents. And I'm not saying it's one generation. I mean, my generation definitely got it the most, if you want. But all generations deal with abuse and neglect and, you know, some sort of trauma. And so I wish that we could all just kind of look more at each other's stuff and be kinder. I mean, it's such a fucking divided time right now. Anyway, so the laundry lady, you know, she said goodbye. It wasn't like we had beef in the, because I hate having beef with people in the laundry room. It's such a small room, you know, and I love doing my laundry. Do you like doing your laundry? I love it. I think it's so, again, it's like practicing Zen. And also, not for nothing, sorry, Ma, again, but we didn't do laundry. My mom's like, what do we need? Fuck, ugh. Jesse, you're so uptight with your clean clothes, you know? Like, really? And your underwear. Oh, well, she called them underpants. But I wanted to have underpants as a child. No, it was very uptight for me, apparently, to want that. Speaking of underpants, are you guys ready for Halloween? Did you pick out your stuff? Are you thinking about it? I mean, it's coming right up, babies. It's coming up. Jesus, can you believe it's October? It's the end of October, and it's next week. It's Tuesday. It's a week from today. I'll be doing the show on October 31st next week on Halloween. I can't wait because it's one of my favorites. One of my favorite holidays. So last year, well, I'll say this. At work this weekend, I did see some children who were causing a ruckus, and they were very little. And, you know, little kids don't know what they're doing yet, but also Upper East Side, not for nothing. I feel like I've said not for nothing a few times, but you know what? I mean it. These fucking kids, I don't want to sit here. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have chairs. You know what I'm saying? So I have a hard time, like, looking at these children who grew up with everything, and I didn't have a fork, you know? And I'm like, these kids. But I, again, acceptance, patience, practicing. Hello. Hello, frustration and jealousy at children. How do you do? And so I, at a certain point, am dumping the drinks to wash the glasses because that's part of the bartender's job. Hello. And I see there's a pint glass that's halfway filled with water and then a quarter way filled with different colored crayons. And I was like, yes. I mean, it really was a fun moment. Do you know what I mean? You want to find a glass full of fucking crayons? That's a glass half full right there. With the crayons? I was like, who the fuck? And, you know, I used to put, did you ever, like, mix everything on the table into in your glass of water and be like, I'm going to try it. This is crazy. This is with the ketchup and salt and pepper and mustard, like, all kinds of fucking crazy condiments in there. It's horrible. It's horrible. Whatever. But these kids, I know I've got more crayons. They'll buy me more crayons. I can throw my crayons away and the glasses and these peasants will pick up and throw away and wash for me. Like, it was very privileged. Anyway, so I decided to make a joke about it because, fuck these kids, right? No, yeah, I don't know. I was confused in my feelings and I guess I am still. So I get the crayon water and I go over to the table because it's right next to the bar, the table. I didn't like walk into the restaurant and be like, hello, with the crayon water that I said to the kid. I said, excuse me, madam, sir, madam, miss, madam, sir. And they're all like 5, 6 years old, you know. Yeah, yes, hello, yeah, hello. And I said, did someone lose some crayons earlier? And they were like, ah, ha, ha. And then they all laughed and the parents laughed. Ah, we'll replace them tomorrow. We'll get the nanny to go and get them. I'm just being a bitch. And so, so I said to them, it's an art piece. Let's take a photo of it. And I was already beaten to the punch by a very young man that I work with at the job who had already, he's like, I have a picture of it. And I said, great. So he'll send me the photo of the crayon water and we'll get it installed in the MoMA and you'll be sure to be famous artist. So then they kind of started making a ruckus again. I said, hold on. Before y'all start going crazy again, who's going to be what for Halloween? And the little boy yelled out first. There's one little boy and then a few little chicks, girls, ladies, witches. And he yells out, Mario, I'm being Mario. And then one of the little girl goes, I'm be a cheerleader. And she made like a, I'm be a cheerleader. And then another little girl, I'm be a cheerleader. And then another little girl, I'm be a cheerleader. And then one little girl pointed at another little girl, the last little girl, and she goes, she's going to be a zombie cheerleader. I'm like, who fuck? Yeah, cheer. Anyway, okay. It's very toddlers and tiaras to me to have your child be a fucking cheerleader at 5 years old in a, because it's not like, what are they going to wear? A sweater? I doubt it. So not like I'm trying to be weird, but it's, I don't know. I mean, I came up where they had those ugly masks that were plastic where you're like, I'm Wonder Woman. You don't put a match near me. Like it, they were horrifying, the costumes that we had. And who am I to judge? Last year, I went as Anne Heche. That's correct. No one knew who I was. with an Anne Heche costume, you have to just explain it. And then you have to explain who Anne Heche is. And then you have to explain that she died recently. So this year, I'm gonna be Suzanne Somers. Now, it's a thing. If I go to a party and I get to dress up twice, I'm going to be one time, I'm going to be Breaking Bad Barbie. Because, you know, I talk about being Breaking Bad Barbie on stage now. And it just makes sense. It checks out, really. And it's such a fun costume. And I already have a few of the things that you would need. So, checks out. It all checks out. What happened with this Subway? Oh, so I was on the train. You know how I love to tell you a Subway story? So I was on the train the other day. Oh, but anyway, send me in what you're going to be for Halloween, because these kids, cheerleader, zombie cheerleader. And I said to her, I like the zombie cheerleader best. And Mario. So what a lady bitch. So don't call yourself Nate. Why are you calling your friend Nate? I just said, don't do that. And then see how easy it is to fall into that shit. Don't do it. My friends, witches, warlocks. So I had to take a bunch of different trains this weekend because, you know, they fuck you over in New York City on the trains because the weekends they go, well, only poor people are going to work, so fuck them. You know, in the nighttime and on the weekends, they just fuck us on the trains. So no trains were coming to my area and I had to walk a little bit further. I had to walk by the amusement park, which is really, in the nighttime, it's very Requiem for a Dream still. Like, it's not that gentrified. I mean, you can't buy anybody's old mom's TV in the garages anymore. Those are all stores and restaurants and stuff. But when you get off the train at like 11 p.m. in the night or midnight, and you're walking, and there's that old Cyclone fucking roller coaster just sitting there, you know, and then you hear like the of like all the rides in the park, and it's just like, oh Lord, get a move on. And so I fucking walk. Anyway, so I'm on these different trains. I was on the D. That's right. I was on the D. And you know, I wished I was on the D. I know. It's been a while. So I'm on the D line, and the D line goes through what I would like to say looks like a cemetery, like a train cemetery, where all the trains are just laid out there and everything is very industrial, and like where the bodies are buried. That's what I thought when I looked at it. I was like, oh, there's some bodies over here. And how you doing, Brooklyn? Not for nothing. So fucking, we're going by, and there's like a canal thing, like a body of water there that just doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go like to the sea, because we are near the sea. The sea? Where are you, a sailor? I am. Arr, I'm a pirate, really. More of a girl pirate. Don't know what they're called. A wench, I suppose. I'm a wench. So put a wench in it. So we're on the subway, and it stops. The train stops in the middle of this train graveyard and the canal water, and it's all creepy. And it's daytime. I'm on my way into the city, but all of a sudden, and the train stops, and you're like, there's nothing around. Why are we stopped? And then all of a sudden, you see this man. It was a white man with a baseball cap, dressed in black, looking around, and like walking over all the tracks. Now, these tracks are not out of business. These tracks are being run on. So there's a third rail. Do you understand what I mean when I say the third rail? That is gonna kill you, sir. But if you just dropped a body off in the water, you don't care if you're gonna, ooh, his head was on swerve. And I was like, oh my God, this man, sir. What are you doing in the train graveyard? And he wasn't a painter. He didn't have a backpack full of spray paint. You know what I mean? Like, my type. Anyway, speaking of my type, I did a show last week at a place called The Roost. And I gotta say, the East Village, God bless you, East Village and Lower East Side, because you are unrecognizable. I know I say that a lot about New York City, because I lived here in the 1900s. The 1900s, as the children call them, because it was very different. It was dark. It was nasty. It was scary. It was grimy. It was, you know, there weren't all these fucking glass buildings, and like all the Avenue B strung with Christmas lights. Huzzah! Like, are you fucking out of your mind? I used to get my heroin right there, and now there's Christmas lights and a French bistro. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, you fuckers, a few of you out there. I know. So I'm walking to this show the other night, and I'm walking through. I'm not even exaggerating when I say I used to buy heroin, and now the apartments are $3,000 for a studio. I'm like, I threw up on your stoop. Don't pay that much. Anyway, I got to The Roost, which is a really cute spot, though, I gotta say. Look at, I'm gonna talk shit about gentrification and be like, okay, but you guys, The Roost, it is like, in the front, it's a coffee shop. Like, they make like artisanal coffee. And then in the back, it's a bar. So it's almost like a speakeasy. Like, I'm totally gonna be a fucking knucklehead. So don't call yourself names. So it was fun, but I think it was more fun because I've told you before, but I'm going to tell you again, I'm a very awkward, I know it doesn't seem like it, but I'm very awkward at parties. I'm awkward around other comedians that are like on the whole time. And I just stay quiet. I don't need to prove anything. I don't need to perform for anybody, and I'm except for you, my loves, and my when I go on stage. Like, everything else is just real. Yeah, I mean, everything is real, but I'm, you know, I pop it up a little for performance, right? You want to pop it up a bit, baby. Oh, and you know, my plasma and my puss, it's not an STD. Just want to let you know in case anyone's listening to that part. It's a bacterial. Does that make it better? No. Why did I have to mention that all of a sudden? I don't know. Anyway, you know, I smoked a lot of PCP when I was younger. Yeah, that's a qualifier. I don't care. You can, whatever. Not excuse. Anyway, I go to the roost and I'm walking up and one of the comics is barking to get people in. And he thinks I'm could be an audience person walking by. And he goes, "Ooh, we have a lovely comedy show for you tonight." And I was very complimented from that because I knew he was saying like that I was maybe lovely. I mean, maybe am I projecting? And so I said, "Why, thank you. I am one of your lovely comedians, actually." And I, Tourette's is a thing. Thank you so much, Rob. I love you so much. It's on the record. Thanks, Alex. I said, "Well, I'm one of your lovely comedians." And then I came and sat down with the guys who were, barking and talking to another comedians. And they were like, they were on, you know? Nice enough people, but just on. And I just couldn't hang. And then I went in to do the show. Or before I went in, the guy who ran the show, Renee, shout out to Renee for hitting me up and giving me the spot. He's a sweetheart. And he came out and he hugged me high. And he goes, "Hey, remember the last time you were here? I was thinking about the last time you were here." And I said to him, "You know, I was trying to think of the last time I was here. Because I did just move back. So I know I was here when I first came back to New York. And I feel like there was like, maybe I had an altercation with somebody." And he goes, "Yeah, you almost fought like two people in the audience." And I go, "Oh yeah. Why?" And he goes, "I don't know, but there was like a party or something beforehand. And there were people still there from the party and they were talking shit. And then you went on stage and you were like, stop talking shit. And then you started talking shit to them. And then you told them, you know, I'll see you outside. And then you were going to fight them." And I go, "Oh my goodness, I was." I said, "You know what? And you know what's crazy about that? I remember after my set, I left and I went and looked for them." That's I think Albuquerque, should I blame Albuquerque for my anger issues? No, I can't. Can I? I can't. I've had these my whole life. But again, you got to see who you are, how far you've come. Look at this. A year later, and I was saying hello and lovely things to the crowd. When I got up and on that stage, it was great. There was no real stage. But when I got up and had the microphone and was with the people at the place, divine timing, lovely people, a great bunch of jokes from me, yes, I will say so myself. It was fantastic. And once again, the guys who were there, it's a very young guy crowd, like comics that hang out there. And they're so fucking cute. And like I said, they're very like on, everybody's kind of, you know, snapping on each other and everything before the show. And I'm just sitting there like I'm just sitting as a lady having a cigarette, lady. And after my set, everyone was like, "Oh, fuck." Like that's, I mean, I don't mean to brag, but I gotta tell you, like, people really liked it. Like people were really excited. And when other comedians are excited about your stuff, it's so nice. You know what I mean? Like when you get the respect of your peers, you know what I'm saying? So it was really nice. It was really nice. And so that was really fun. And also I felt like, you know what? I don't need to keep up and be on this whole time with everybody to do a good job and to get everybody's respect. Like I don't have to bullshit and worry about being like someone that I'm not and try to be like, "Yeah, fucking, like I can't, I don't have that kind of dialogue in my life. So there it is. But I was really happy for myself to actually hang around. Cause usually I just go because I have this awkwardness. I usually just go do the spot and then run, you know, it wasn't like that. Even at the clown show. Yeah. I did that clown show the night before I went to this other stand-up show. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, if you're a clown, clown on, yo, but I don't think that we mix. It was an unfortunate unfortunate slot that he put me in because it was, he put me in a slot. Stupid. A lot of clowning and a lot of people seemingly not really prepared. Like, look, I'm going to do an impression and this is not over the top. This is not anything that's like making fun or anything exaggerated, but I'm going to show you what was that. Okay, that's just a couple. And for those of you just listening to audio, all I did was kind of wiggle around and put a funny face on and my arms were kind of scrunched up. So when I got up with jokes, the audience felt like they were saying to me back, well, why on earth are you prepared here? What the fuck is all this preparation about? And so, you know, so anyway, you win some, you lose some. You know what I'm saying? Even though you get a couple people up that go, hey, that was, and then you go, okay, and you just have to take it. Because if you get complimented off something that you're doing and you didn't feel as great about it, just remember, they don't know how it was like supposed to go in your head. Just take the compliment. Thank you. Move it along. And take it. Really receive it. You know, it's good for us to practice receiving. Oh my God, it's already the time. please send me your ideas about your costumes. Next Tuesday, I'll be wearing something I'll surprise you with. Maybe it won't even be one of the two things that I mentioned in the show earlier. You don't know. I want to thank everybody for who shares the show. I thank you so much for sharing the show. I thank you so much for sending me your comments, your memes, your stories about stuff. I didn't even get to the story about the sex doll that was found on the side of the road that they thought was a woman. Who had been, the only way to describe it is really rode hard and put away wet, which is an expression used for horses, I believe. Anyway, I'm about to go and sail the high seas today, going all into have a good life, as well as you should. And I am so pleased that you came by to hang around with me. Thank you so much for hanging with me. And again, thank you so much for sharing the show with your friends and just tag me. And I love you so much for listening. And listen, you just be good to yourself. Remember, it's just a practice. We did no name calling, acceptance, la 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 la. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy, you know, be of good health. And if you didn't get the Bonnie and Clyde reference, go and watch it. The one with Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty. They were pretty fucking hot. And it's a great story. Anyway, I love a gun mall. I love you. And don't do anything that hurts you or makes you feel bad. And don't suck a dick you don't like or lick a pussy you don't like or even make out with anybody you don't like. Just do shit you like. Okay? And don't hurt anybody or hurt yourself. Okay? It's so easy. It's so easy. I love you so much. Bon, au revoir, motherfuckers. I love you so much. Oh.